ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 27, titled The Process of Deity Worship, Text Number 16. Dravyai Prasiddhair Madhyagaha Dravyai Prasiddhair Madhyagaha Pradimadishu Pradimadishu Amayinah Pradimadishu Amayinah Bhaktasya cha yatha labdhair Hridi bhavena chaivahi Dravye prasiddhair madhyaga Pradimadishvamayinah Bhaktasya cha yatha labdhair Hridi bhavena chaivachi Dravye prasiddhair madhyaga Pradimadishvamayinah Bhaktasya cha yatha labdhair Hridi bhavena chaivahi Dravyai With items of paraphernalia Prasiddhai Excellent Matyagaha My worship Pradima Adishu In the different deity forms, Amayinaha, who has no material desire, Bhaktasya, of a devotee, Cha, and Yatha Labdhai, by whatever paraphernalia he can easily obtain, Hridi, in the heart, Bhavena, by mental conception, cha, and evahi, certainly. One should worship me in my deity form by offering the most excellent paraphernalia. But a devotee completely freed from material desire may worship me with whatever he is able to obtain, and may even worship me within his heart with mental paraphernalia. The purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. A devotee still troubled by material desire tend to see the world as object of sense gratification. Such a neophyte devotee may misunderstand that the Lord's supreme position and may even consider the Lord as an object of his own enjoyment. Hence, the neophyte must offer opulent paraphernalia to the deity, so that he may constantly remember that the deity is the supreme enjoyer, and that he, the neophyte, is simply the worshipper and is actually meant for the deity's pleasure. In contrast, an advanced devotee, one fixed in Krishna consciousness, never forgets that the Supreme Lord is the actual enjoyer and controller of everything. The pure devotee offers his unalloyed love to the personality of Godhead, along with whatever paraphernalia is easily obtained. A Krishna conscious devotee does not waver in his devotion to Lord Krishna, and even with the simplest offering, he completely satisfies the personality of Godhead.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोऽभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणालिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चनगौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। पञ्चकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। In this verse, it is very nicely mentioned how there are two different levels of worship of the deity and why we are actually worshipping the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One thing is very clear, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not perceivable by our ordinary senses. As you know, the Lord possesses Sachidananda Vigraha. His form is full of eternality, blissfulness and all knowledge. And with our material senses, we can never perceive the Supreme Lord, because it is just material. And our consciousness is polluted completely with material thoughts, material desires. So, in this position, how can we understand, or how can we see and how can we perceive the Supreme Lord who is Sachidananda? So, the Lord, by His causeless mercy, appear in the form of Archavigraha. So, even though apparently made of material elements, you know, there are different elements mentioned like earth, jewel, different metals, wood, or even mental form. The Lord can appear in different forms, but when an Acharya installs the deity by the authorized process given in the Vedic scriptures, then the Lord Himself is present as the deity form. So the deity, which is made of any of these material elements, becomes non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is actually a transcendental arrangement where apparently the matter is completely converted into spirit. So the modes of material nature apparently, which constitute any material body, is completely transformed into Sachidananda. So here we have to understand the correct Vedic injunctions are important, and it has to be authorized and it has to be sanctioned and it has to be installed by an Acharya. So here we can see Srila Prabhupada himself came and he installed Gauranitai, he installed Radha Vallabh, he personally did Abhishek for Gauranitai. We can watch the video, we have the photos. So we can see that Acharya himself came and he himself installed the deities. And then onwards, the opulent worship of the Supreme Lord is continuing. Now, if we ask why opulent worship, why excellent paraphernalia is need to be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? In necro devotion, one item of devotion service, among the 64 items of devotion service, is one has to worship the Supreme Lord according to one's means. Even though Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachadi Tadaham Bhakti Bhagradam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. So Krishna says, even if it is a leaf, water, flower, or or a fruit, even if you offer any of these things, Krishna is very happy to accept. The reason is very nicely given, because the term bhakti is used 2 times in the same verse, bhakti bhakritam. So since there is devotion from the side of devotee, then the Lord is happy to accept that offering. But it doesn't mean, even in the same purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that it doesn't mean one has to restrict one's offering to these 4 items. So the reason is one has to offer according to one's means. If one is wealthy, one can offer all different kinds of things to the Supreme Lord as sanctioned by the Supreme Lord. However, there is one thing. It has to be offered with love and devotion. There has to be bhakti, has to be there. Because Krishna is not ultimately after the paraphernalia, or he is not after what we are offering, but he is after what is the consciousness behind. And Krishna can look what we are holding back. So Krishna is intelligent. No one can actually cheat him, even though it is written, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Now, people are working very hard, and people make a lot of money. And naturally, when there is opulence, then there is a chance of getting attached to those opulence. So as a duty, how to cut this attachment to this opulence? So the method for that is worshipping the deity, Archavigraha. And that too, giving all different kinds of paraphernalia, giving all different kinds of opulent foodstuff for the Lord. So there are different standards, even in the temple worship and at the home worship. So the standard could be different. So if somebody is wealthy at home, one may have a different standard. And at temple, there is a high standard of worship for the deity. And here, very opulent items are given. You know, morning, if you consider the milk sweets, you know, 3, 4, 5 items. And there is milk, there is water, and there is fruit offering is there, 5 or 6 kinds of fruits. There is breakfast offering, which is going on now. There is Rajbhog. There is afternoon fruit offering. So 6 offerings are there. 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock. So you know, 6 offerings are there. So it is very opulent. And when one has a little bit of faith to do this, and when one performs this day after day, then it actually makes one think, why I have to actually do this? What is the purpose behind this? Who is this? Whom am I offering all these things? Then one comes to the conclusion that God is actually great. He can accept all the offering. And He is the Supreme King. And it is important to mention that the Supreme Lord is worshipped, even if it is Radha and Krishna, we are worshipping in the mood of Lakshmi and Narayan. Just like in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, the Supreme Lord is king. He is worshipped as a king. And Lakshmi Devi is the queen. So in the same mood, with awe and reverence, we are worshipping Radha and Krishna through Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, through the regulated devotional service. So it's not that one can do one kind of offering this time and tomorrow we can change the standard. No. When the worship is already started, there was some standard set here. So we do follow those standards. Now if we consider deity worship as the process, primarily it is a process for the age of Dwapara Yuga. It is a prime means for the age of Dwapara Yuga. It is said, Dwaparetu Paricharyayam. So each age, each Yuga has different processes. And in Dwapara Yuga, that is the 3rd Yuga, the process is deity worship. And it is mentioned that deity worship is not of just ordinary standard. The standard is very high. When the deity is installed, it is mentioned that the platform on which the Lord is installed, that is made of gold. And it is huge and it is big. And the offering to the Supreme Lord is too many items. I know it's something like, you know, the lakes of different bhogas. That much they had the capacity to offer to the Supreme Lord. And they could glorify the Supreme Lord continuously. So this was the standard mentioned for the age of Dwapara Yuga. And the deity was made of different, you know, even jewels, so much of jewels to decorate the deity. And the Lord is made of gold, or, you know, the Panchaloha, the most prominent five metals. In that way, the Lord is made in the most opulent way, and the worship is done in the most opulent way. We can see the example of Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri, there are 56 items offered now also, every day. So it means, I don't know exactly how many hours the Lord take rest, but pretty much in half an hour, there is one offering, or 20 minutes, one offering, like that. So the Pandas there, they are continuously preparing in pots, clay pots, and, you know, they stack one on top like that, and there is a hole in between. So the steam from one goes to the next, and from there it goes to the next, like that. But it is most amazing thing in that cooking is that even though there are few pots stacked like this, all of them cook at pretty much the same time. So they have the system. So that's how they actually cook a lot of items. And they are continuing this as a tradition for, you know, generations after generations. So this is an example of opulent offering for the Supreme Lord. We can see the same similar opulent offering here on Janmashtami day. You know, at least 300-400 items were offered to Krishna on Janmashtami. So that is really opulent. But we can't do that every day. There's difficulty. And in terms of paraphernalia of worship and the jewels of the Lord, a good example would be Tirupati. If you go to see Balaji, it is hard to see the body of the Supreme Lord. You can only see gold and jewels from top to bottom. The whole body is, you know, if you just look from down till up, even including on his face, including his tilak, it is jewels. And what to speak about his crown? It is, you know, he is the one of the richest deity. Richest deity. People are offering, you know, so much in terms of Lakshmi and also in terms of their hair. People go there and they actually shave their head. And actually, it is mentioned the temple is earning a lot of revenue in terms of selling that for different purposes. Even that hair is being sold. So that is the opulent worship. And I remember in Trivandrum there is Ananda Padmanabha temple. So this temple was visited by Mahaprabhu 500 years back. And there, during British time, they were very concerned that too much of gold was there on top of the Lord. The Lord was decorated with a lot of gold, as well as the Lord's body was made of gold to a great degree. So much of gold was there. Then they were really afraid of stealing the Lord himself, because Britishers could come, because they were ruling over, they could actually take the Lord, or they could actually remove some gold from the Lord. So what they did was they covered the body of the Lord with saligrams. So now if you go, actually primarily you can see only the black deity. The Lord is made of black stone, apparently looks like, but it's actually saligrams. And this deity is very big, 18 feet. So you can imagine how much gold, or, you know, how much paraphernalia the Lord would have. It's immense. And recently, a few years back, some of the saligrams came off, and actually we can see a lot part of the gold now. And the chest and the middle part, you can see a lot of gold. And the Lord is actually golden. And the lotus is Ananta Shesh. So the lotus is coming from the navel of the Supreme Lord, and on which the Brahma is sitting. So the whole part is again gold. It's huge. So that is the kind of, you know, if you look back, you know, few examples how the opulent deity worship people used to perform before. However, now it's quite difficult. And here if you see, Prabhupada's instruction is to offer simple paraphernalia for the Supreme Lord. Though it is very nice, it looks very good, but most of the paraphernalia is just, the jewels are actually, it's not actually jewels, but plastic or, you know, synthetic materials. Because Prabhupada said the Lord shouldn't be the object of stealing. You know, security will be a big issue. You know, in big temples there are huge security arrangements because people can steal anything anytime. So Prabhupada didn't want such a thing. So generally the paraphernalia of the Lord is simple. It is made simple so that it is affordable, and also there is no risk of people just approaching and, you know, just stealing the whole thing. And this is the deity worship on the normal level. And on an advanced platform, as it is mentioned, the devotee is offering only whatever they have, or even offering mental paraphernalia, manasa seva. So there is a very nice example of Srila Sanatan Goswami. He was worshipping the Supreme Lord, Radha and Krishna, and he was just worshipping under a tree, Radha Madan Mohan. And he had, practically speaking, he had no paraphernalia. And what he used to offer was just dry chapatis, without even salt. And there is this pastime in which Madan Mohan said, "Look, you are just offering this stale chapatis. Please give me, at least add some salt." So Sanatan Goswami was, he was busy in bhajan as well as he was busy in writing scriptures, writing books for the future generation. So he said, "I don't have time for these things. Because first I will give you salt, after that you will ask me for something else. Then I have to go and collect something more, and then I have to offer. Then you will ask for something more. So I cannot continue in this way because I have important services for you to do." So the reason has to be very careful, because he is completely engaged in the Lord's service and had a mission behind his life. So that's the reason he was answering in this way, being a pure devotee. So finally, anyway, at the same time, the Supreme Lord has his own arrangement. If Sanatan Goswami is not directly giving the salt, he had his own means to get salt. So we know the pastime where in Yamuna the boat was stuck for a wealthy merchant, and he was completely miserable. And somebody asked, "You go and see this sadhu, Sanatan Goswami." So this merchant approached Sanatan Goswami and said, "You know, my big boat is stuck and just got a lot of salt, and I had to actually do some business so that, you know, I can get some money." So he was miserable. So Sanatan Goswami said, "You pray to Madan Mohanji." So he started praying, and to his surprise, actually the whole problem was solved, and he could actually move the boat, and he went and he completed his business deal, and he earned a lot of money. And as a offering to the Supreme Lord Madan Mohan, he offered Sanatan Goswami, "What can I do for Madan Mohan?" So he said, "You construct a big temple for Radha Madan Mohan." So he constructed a big temple for the pleasure of the deity. And if you go to Vrindavan, we can see that beautiful temple and we can take darshan of the Lord. So the Lord has always arrangement for himself. So this is a very advanced platform, and definitely we cannot imitate such a thing. We cannot say, "Radha Vallabh, you know, I have nothing to give to you." We had to do something about it. We had to give, we cannot be stingy. We had to give enough fruits. If there is a fruit offering, we had to give all different kinds of fruit according to season. If it is a Rajbhog offering, we had to cook different kinds of sabji. We couldn't be lazy, or we cannot give any excuse. So that is our position, because we are worshipping according to rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. Then there is mental worship. That is, again, one needs some advancement in devotion service, because first of all, the mind is very agitated. All different kinds of thoughts are coming all the time. So one has to have a stable mind to do manasa puja, especially devotees, if they have deities and if they are traveling, and if they don't have any option of offering all the paraphernalia at that point, then they may do manasa puja, where they can actually imagine that they are getting different paraphernalia and they are offering to the Supreme Lord. Since it is a sincere endeavor from the side of the devotee, the Lord is merciful and he accepts. In actual devotion, we can see the example of the Brahmana, who had the great desire to worship the Lord with all different kinds of excellent paraphernalia, but he had no means. Then what he did, he actually imagined sitting near the river of Godavari, and he started imagining that he's going to different holy rivers, and he's personally collecting water, and he's actually doing abhishek. And after abhishek, he collected all different kinds of paraphernalia, and he actually worshipped the Lord. He actually dressed the Lord, and he offered flower garlands and different valuable jewels. And the Lord was merciful and he was accepting all these things. And it is mentioned he continued this worship for many days. And one day he wanted to offer sweet rice. And so he cooked sweet rice, everything in the mind, not externally. And he was actually testing how hot it is, because sweet rice is an item one has to offer when it is cold. So it was boiling hot, and he actually touched in the mind, and the sweet rice also in the mind. But suddenly he woke up from meditation, because his hand was burnt. Then he realized, there is no items. Everything was in the mind, but still his hand was burnt. It is mentioned at this point, Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, he was watching all these things, and he was very happy, and he was laughing. So Lakshmiji asked Lord Narayan, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "Look at this Brahmin, what is he doing? He's so wonderful." So the Lord became so merciful, he actually sent his Viman, his airplane, to get this devotee. So that was the reciprocation of the Supreme Lord. And even the mental offering is accepted by the Supreme Lord. It depends on the sincerity and qualification of the devotee in terms of devotion to the Supreme Lord. Now, even though we mentioned that the primary process of worshipping the Lord in the age of Dwapara Yuga was deity worship, but in the age of Kali Yuga, we still do deity worship to support our chanting. So it is a prime item in our devotion service. If you consider 64 items of devotion service, many of the items are connected to deity worship. But the whole point having deity is not just to have a nice temple, nice offering, and the devotees are getting nice prasadam, and we are happy with mahaprasadam. So that's not the whole aim. So we can see in the pastimes of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he constructed a temple in Calcutta, marble temple, which was revolutionary at that time, many of his disciples actually got attached to the facilities. And they started arguing over, okay, which room shall I use? There were fight on the possessions, on the facilities. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, look, the whole purpose of having such wonderful deity is that to attract people to the Lord. So the aim is preaching. So he said, I would rather take the marble from this temple and I would print books and distribute. So that was the mood of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So as we know, the famous pastime on the bank of Radhakund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. So that is the mission that is being carried forward from Srila Prabhupada to his disciples and to his grand disciples and all of us who are following Srila Prabhupada. So today is the auspicious day of starting off book marathon, and this is an opportunity for us to please Srila Prabhupada by distributing books. If you see the history of book distribution, it is very interesting, because the Goswamis in Vrindavan, they wrote all this great literature, and they intensely desired that these literatures being distributed everywhere. And as the first step, the first person who actually started this party of book distribution was none other than Srinivas Acharya. So after being taught by Srila Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan, three of them, Srinivas Acharya, Shyamanand Prabhu and Narottam Das Thakur, they actually left to Bengal and Orissa for the whole purpose of preaching and distributing books. So it was mentioned that Jiva Goswami personally arranged a big box full of books, which were the original manuscripts written by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami himself. So all these books, most of them were original manuscripts. They were kept in a big box, and they actually started carrying in a big bullock cart with 15 people to assist. They were the guards for these books, and these three acharyas were walking in front. And Srinivas Acharya was the eldest, and he was the leader, he was the Sankirtan leader of that party. and there is a pastime in which it was about to reach Bengal, and that time it was got stolen. Then the whole books were stolen because these 15 of these guards, they were so tired, and all these three people, they were also very tired because of the long journey. So they went near a lake and they started sleeping in the night, and all the books were there in this big box. And if these books are stolen, then many of the books, there is no other copies left. The whole lifetime works of the Goswamis, and which we are following, which Srila Prabhupada was following, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was following. So that was the situation. Then Srinivas Acharya sent Shyamananda Prabhu and Narottama Das Thakur for preaching. You said, whatever message you have, you spread in Bengal. That was Narottama Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu to Orissa. And they said, okay, you go and preach. I take the personal responsibility of getting back these books. So the whole pastime was such that actually the king of that place had many thugs, and the king's astrologer found that there is a precious thing coming to that place, and these thugs, they actually stole the whole books, and they went and they actually gave it to the king. And king was very anxious, and he opened the box and he started reading some works of Srila Rupa Goswami. It was mentioned that when he actually started reading the original manuscript of Srila Rupa Goswami, he got Krishna Prem then and there. That was the potency of those books. Then there is a pastime where Srinivas Acharya actually goes and actually defeats the pandit who actually recites Srimad Bhagavatam for the king, and all of them becomes disciples of Srila Srinivas Acharya, and all of them becomes Vaishnavas, and he sends message back to Sri Jiva Goswami saying all the books are recovered, and they went to Bengal and they had to actually do the handwritten copies of the book, and then they actually distributed. So this was the original book marathon, maybe, because it was very intense. Afterwards, we can see in 1896, the year, what is the significance of 1896? Srila Prabhupada was born. The same year, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was intensely desiring the spreading of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So he started sending books to Vaishnava literatures to Western world. So 1896 was the first year in which the first book was sent abroad from India. And even devotees could actually find some of those books in different libraries around the world. So this was the first, we can say the first, you know, the serious attempt to give books outside India in the Western world. Then, as you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also tried book distribution. He sent devotees abroad, and Srila Prabhupada, he actually took up the mission with great strength. And we are trying to follow in those footsteps. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned, now books are there, the whole idea is to go and distribute. And the first purpose is getting out on the street, having some plan, having some hours ready in our day to go out and distribute books. My spiritual master mentioned one time that one has to be actually grateful if somebody is engaging us in distributing books. We have to be grateful to those persons, because this is the highest welfare activity, and this is the activity that for sure pleases Srila Prabhupada. And even we can see Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas in the world are very much pleased by this one activity of distributing books. Because there is one thing, that is studying Shastra, and another is actually giving this Shastra to others. Because we are actually changing the karmic patterns of all the living entities, practically speaking. So when we go on the street, if somebody is actually taking or even having a look at one book, whole of his karma is actually getting changed, because he is destined to get so many different things, because he might have done so many sinful activities, and his karma is actually changed. So book distribution means changing karma of living entities, and people are actually getting an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. So we may have a busy schedule and we may not be able to distribute books, throughout the year, but at least when it comes to marathon time, we had to actually find some time to go and distribute books. And it is always clear that if we are enthused, if we have enthusiasm to preach, if we have enthusiasm to distribute books, then Krishna will give some time. That is guaranteed. Because Krishna is time. Krishna can give time. So we have, actually speaking, we have no excuse to sit back and think somebody else will distribute books. Whatever time we have to actually take the opportunity to go out and distribute. Not necessarily just a city, we can go move around different places, maybe suburbs or if it's possible to travel. But somehow or other we have to give this knowledge to as many people as possible. It doesn't matter big or small. The aim is to actually give out the books. Prabhupada says, you know, somehow or other, by some means, give out these books. So this month is, you know, it is very nice, and very amazing thing is that we have actually started this marathon 1 week earlier. That is, this is almost 10 days earlier. Usually we start in the December month, but since we have other engagements like catering, we have actually started 10 days earlier. So that is really nice. We are actually getting some more opportunity to give out. Another thing is, we have to be very mindful about the mood in which we are actually giving out, because if we are not just a businessman, we are trying to give something and get some money. That's not the whole business. It's a transcendental, it's a spiritual activity. So the idea is to give Krishna to as many people as possible. So we have to approach them just like as a servant. It is mentioned how one can actually get mercy of Lord Nityananda. So it is mentioned one can actually get mercy of Lord Nityananda by actually getting mercy of Jagai and Madai. So how can we get mercy of Jagai and Madai? So actually speaking, there are many Jagais and Madais. It only matter of just going out. So we had to approach them and we had to give them the mercy. We had to actually give the books. We had to actually serve them in the form of transcendental knowledge. So if we serve them, then we are actually getting their mercy. And with that, Lord Nityananda will be very much pleased. And we can see all the devotees and all acharyas, and especially Srila Prabhupada, will be very much pleased. So we try to take the opportunity to go out and give out this knowledge. So we'll see, is there any comments or questions, because time is getting there. Yes, Prabhu.
What's the name of the deity?
Huh? Oh yeah, this is Ananta Padmanabha. There are actually few deities like that. One is Ananta Padmanabha, and even Srirangam. The deity is actually is made of saligram. Srirangam is in Trichy. It's in Trichy, maybe few kilometers from Trichy city, and this one is in Trivandrum. Yeah. There are other deities also. They say it is made of saligram. Even Sri Vallabha is considered is made of saligram, but hard to actually, we can't say, it's a black stone, it's difficult to say. Yeah. Yes, any other questions or points? Okay, thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, book marathon ki, Hare Krishna.